The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Holy shit, that dude ripped that dude's throat out. You're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, Gabe, Tim, and Doyle.
His name is Dalton.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 128 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Tim.
I'm Doyle.
I'm Wall.
And this is... throws me off almost every single time you do it.
He'll pepper another all somewhere else in the episode.
He didn't stop. He just paused for a little while to finish.
This episode is our pop culture classic episode. Today, we are going to be talking about... Roadhouse.
Do you have sweet, sweet Patrick Swayze ass?
Fucking A.
Do you have it pulled up right
now?
No,
I can, though.
Why don't you pull it up and tell us
Can that be the image for the episode?
Just Patrick Swayze's ass.
I think we'll get pulled down.
just black box it or something.
I think he'll be all right with it.
Isn't he dead?
That's why he's fine with it.
Wow. What am I looking up?
Just the date, director, who it stars, all that stuff.
We can ask him in the Seance episode. Are you cool?
So it came out May 19th, 1989. It was $17 million was the budget. $30 million in gross in the United States. Cumulative worldwide gross was $87,945,379. Silver Pictures, Star Partners. Stars Patrick Swayze, obviously. Kelly Lynch as Doc, Sam Elliott as Wade Garrett, Ben Gazzara as Brad Wesley. How long do you want me to read?
That's fine.
Right about there.
Who directed it?
Oh, fuck.
Rowdy Harrington.
There you go.
Rowdy Harrington. What a name.
I wonder if he gets loud. I wonder if he gets rowdy.
Nah, all his rowdy friends.
I'm out.
He's just really calm and reserved, actually.
I forgot Terry Funk was in this movie.
I didn't even know Terry Funk was in this movie until he was there.
Holy shit, that's Terry Funk.
Yeah, that's literally what he said. It's like room totally quiet. We're all watching. He's like, oh, fuck, that's Terry Funk.
I like that in the first fight scene, Terry Funk gets a couple press slams in. Got to play to your strengths, you know? So, quick rundown of this movie. Dalton is... What would you say, like a bouncer extraordinaire,
like a
for,
bouncer
hire?
For hire? Yeah.
He's the cooler.
Oh, that's right. He does have a title. He's the
not
cooler.
A bouncer.
He's a cooler.
He's like head bouncer.
Yeah, don't
they
fucking
made
say
up, like,
it to
a
him.
Profession for this movie.
No, you know, I wonder if that's how this movie got made. Is that like somebody heard that term somewhere at a bar, and then somebody's like, ooh, we should make a movie about that.
I mean, because that would make sense, because that's all this movie is about.
is him being a cooler.
I'm still trying to think how they spent $17 million making this movie.
Oh, no.
Fucking things at a bar.
No, we know how they spent $17 million making this movie. So if you look at...
It's lazy, $14 million.
If you look at everything that's in the movie, yeah. It's built. Like, that giant house they're in, it's there. The barn is there. The fucking... But the roadhouse...
They just rented that shit.
No, the roadhouse and the auto parts shop, they are built next to each other in the middle of
that's
nowhere,
true.
Which indicates that those were, like... created, like
most
constructed.
Of their exterior shots are at night, so you can't see anything else besides those buildings.
Also, a lot of shit gets like broken.
A car blows up.
You know, the budget for a movie chair is like $700.
Oh yeah, the markup.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if they found the building for the roadhouse and then built the auto parts store like in the parking lot across the street.
Again, that's like $1 million tops, especially at that time.
They blow it up. Dude, they blow up an entire building.
Yeah, that don't cost that much money.
Yes, it does. Oh my god, that costs a
buddy,
ton
I'm
of
telling
money.
You, in movie money, in movie money,
because it's like, say you're a chair owner, and guy's like, I need like 50 of this chair, and you're like, write him up a quote, and then like, you get his business card. It's like, oh, you're for Paramount. okay, let's hike that price up a little bit more because we know you have the budget now. It's like government contracts.
I want to break down. The film was inspired by a real story where a local bad guy was killed in plain view. Nobody saw anything then either.
Ooh. Ashton was talking about that in the movie.
I like the fucking
was he mentioned it. He's like, yeah, it's about the. It's like, reminds me of that article about like a town that like killed a guy.
Oh, that's really weird. If he wasn't feeling so shitty, I'd have him come back up and talk to us about that. So, basic premise, Dalton is this cooler who goes from bar to bar and cleans them up. He gets hired for the Double Deuce, or as Sam Elliott called it, the double douche.
Also, Sam Elliott, awesome.
Yeah. So, when he...
A jacked Sam Elliott, like, he fucking kicks ass in this movie.
So, when he goes to this bar and, like, kind of takes over it, he, you know, fires a bunch of people, pisses off the local bad guy, and then basically has to fight off a gang of guys to retake control of the town. Like, it gets out of hand really, really quickly.
The most loosely assembled set of badasses. One of the tough guys.
I was like, why is that guy like 700 pounds? Was he intimidating?
One of the bad guys is very fat.
Yeah. Like, back in the day, Squirrely Dan. They just assumed you were also really tough.
He was really fast, though, for a big guy.
Yeah. We did an army roll over a car.
And then there's, like, the one obvious bad guy. He's wearing all denim, and then he has, like, an eagle feather earring.
The one that's got all the hard time.
Yeah.
It's like reverse Dalton.
Yes.
It's Bizarro Dalton.
He really is, yeah.
Nemesis Dalton.
I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
Oh, God. That is... So there's a bunch of tough guy lines in this movie.
Name don't hurt. Yeah, it does.
There's a ton of tough guy lines in this movie, and that is the worst one.
I drop the spoiler. He's like, I'll get all the sleep I need when I'm dead. Yeah, in two more scenes. You'll be stabbed through the chest.
So, going around the table, Tim... How do you feel about this movie?
Oh, thumbs way the fuck up. Not even a question.
Dude, it's...
It's like the quintessential 80s movie.
Like, that's how you know critics know what the fuck they're talking about.
Because it has... How does this have a 38% on Rotten Tomatoes? Like, it's this is every, a good
it's got,
movie.
It's got well, what, everything that's
is
awesome.
Is that the critic rating or is that the people who saw it rating?
I don't know.
That's not the overall.
Either way, doesn't matter. Whoever gave it that rating sucks.
Yeah.
Movie so has this, everything that's awesome. It's got tits, ruined. Fire, explosions, fighting... Death, gunfights.
This movie ruined Patrick Swayze's chance to be in Predator 2.
Huh.
He couldn't be in it because he was injured due to one of the fighting scenes in this movie.
Huh.
There's also a quote in here that Patrick Swayze once commented during production he was not sure he would live through making this movie. Like,
I can see it. They do a lot of crazy shit.
They do a lot of crazy
shit.
He does
a lot
movie.
Of his own stunts in this movie, too. Like, you can tell it's him.
And he sits on shingles. And, like, pushes a lady against a rock wall to have sex with her, all of those things seem really uncomfortable.
I knew it. I'm reading the trivia. Sorry, everybody.
Here we go.
The band that's playing when he first walks into the bar,
T-Bone Tarantula.
The same band that's playing in Dusk Till Dawn in the same fucking bar scene. I was like, oh my God, I thought so.
Maybe they're in universe.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And all the people that died in the movie are chilling in that fucking creepy.
They're vampires.
They're all vampires now.
From Dusk Till Dawn is the sequel to Roadhouse. It's official. You heard it here first, people.
Dusk Till Dawn is slightly less ridiculous.
Are you sure?
The vampires are a little more believable. Than somebody getting away with driving a monster truck through a dealership.
I love the random, like, blind piano player who just happens in everybody's history.
Where the fuck are the cops?
No, he pays them off. There's a straight throwaway line.
They're in his pocket.
Who's going to stop him? The sheriff's in his pocket. That's all they ever say about it.
And you don't see cops until
the
very last scene.
End.
And they're all like, do you see anything?
No.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
I ain't going back to jail.
Awkward silence while everybody looks at stuff about the movie on the
top. An off-Broadway production of this film was produced in 2003. It had the peculiar. It had the strangely excessive long title of Roadhouse, the stage version of the cinema classic that starred Patrick Swayze, except this one stars Tiamat from the 80s cult classic The Last Dragon, 1985, wearing a blonde mullet wig.
Perfect. I'm going to YouTube that one later.
I really want to watch that.
It's just ridiculous enough to have my attention.
So here's another piece of trivia. This film is listed among the 100 most enjoyable bad movies ever made by the Golden Raspberries.
I believe it.
Why is this a bad movie?
What's just the cheesiness of it, maybe?
But, like, does that really make a movie bad?
Bad guy runs a town. There's, like...
It really has no storyline.
Yeah. It totally has a storyline.
I like the movie, but come on.
Dude comes to town. Dude beats up gang of people. That's a storyline, man.
But like,
it's a tropish storyline, but almost every movie is a tropish storyline.
Well, like, the character interactions are completely wrong. Like, somebody comes to John's shop and tries to blow it up or run through it with a fucking monster truck.
Calls the cops.
John and Dom are going to call the cops or just already have that guy murdered before they even show up. Like, nobody's fucking around.
I don't know. It's
I like the movie. I give it a thumbs up too.
Yeah. So we didn't ever get past him.
That was my choice. I obviously like it.
Right.
Yeah.
Good choice, by the way.
We got to talk to Jason.
Like, genuinely, this was one of the funner like movies that I think we've watched in a while. Like, I really enjoyed this.
I know. I want to. Did I get to choose the last of one of ours? Maybe I'll.
We kind of chose together because we picked Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah.
My next choice is not fun, so you know.
Outlander season 3.
Fuck off. I watched the whole first season. I was like, sooner or later, they're going to start killing people. It's going to be exciting. No,
it's straight drama the whole time. It's meant to be that way. That's what I tried to illustrate to you guys. But
didn't illustrate that at all. You said it's a time travel.
I was so excited because you said time travel.
You also said it's Game of Thrones with a little bit more drama, which insinuates there's some fighting.
Well, there is.
Barely.
It's nothing. He's all
you
got to
get through season one, and then in season two,
you just got to read like the first six issues, and then you're in.
Oh my god, you guys didn't get far enough into it.
Nope.
But all of a sudden, she's sitting there, and there's a famous singer going to come play for them, and he just happens to sing a song about exactly what she's fucking going through, step by step on how she got there and how she can get back. In the song, I was like, convenient much. That wouldn't happen if you drove from here to Denver. Like
some guy singing, take 34 to I-25.
Let alone, here's the time, place, and season, and ingredients you need to time travel home. Like, this is ridiculous.
This is the moment where Doyle finally gets to unload on Tim about Outlander.
It's just a story that goes so
I like the show, so I'm not going to apologize for it. Lord knows I've had to watch really horrible shit that I didn't like that you guys have picked, all right?
You never do.
That's bullshit.
Over the Top was rough. And the fucking Dark City is a good movie, but fucking it is not for me.
It makes me fall asleep every time I watch it.
I literally fell asleep when we tried to watch it.
I want to go off on that, and then Jared, too.
Jared?
For Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, well, let's talk about that during the fan interaction episode.
Get online, Jared.
He can't hear you.
Well, no, you can't hear me, Jared.
Also, fun additional thing for the Roadhouse. The guy playing the guitar through most of the movie is actually blind and is an actual like Canadian rock star.
He's actually good, but that's his character's ridiculous.
Oh, he's blind? Yeah. Was I supposed to notice that he was blind? Yeah. I don't know if
you
definitely were supposed
to notice that he was blind.
He's very clearly Ray Charles it up.
Yeah.
Like every time he plays guitar, he does the Ray Charles thing. Yeah. And at the very beginning, when Dalton is going into the cage to talk to him, that's why he's telling his bandmates, because he won't know. That's why when they're face to face, he doesn't know it's Dalton until Dalton talks to him.
Side note, actually
blind.
I don't
think I realized that.
He's actually blind, too. Yeah. Like, Tim literally was sitting on the couch.
I was curious. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Because he's actually, like, you can tell he's actually playing the guitar in most of the scenes. Because there aren't a lot of people that play on the lap like that. And I was like, is he actually blind? So I looked him up, and he had, like, eye cancer.
Oof. And, like, Tim literally said, wow, that guy plays being blind really good. I wonder if he's actually blind.
Dude's a fucking beast.
So, I know we can keep talking about the movie if we want, but Jason just told me that we're watching Blade next time.
Fucking A.
That's why I said, fuck yeah. And
some motherfuckers always awesome. Trying to ice skate.
And then
uphill.
I would like to watch Beverly Hills Cop number one for the next time.
Didn't we watch? No, we watched Lethal Weapon one
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Similar, but different.
Yeah. Very different.
Black guy.
Buddy cop. But
oh, shit. There was a black guy in Lethal Weapon, too.
Murtaugh.
A very important one.
Yeah.
Very important one.
He's not just the white guy's driver, bro.
That's driving Miss Daisy.
No, thumbs up. I don't know that I've ever seen this movie ever in my whole life. Wow. So I enjoyed it. It was
one of the TBS movies.
I may have
movies.
when I was like six or
that's
some shit.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
No.
I was like, you're choosing a movie I've never seen.
I was like, from everything I know about you, this definitely seems like something your older siblings would have forced you to watch at some point.
Roadhouse?
Because you talk a lot
or
about
Beverly
that.
Hills Cop.
Roadhouse.
I don't know, man. This seems like a white people movie to me.
I mean, yes.
You are not wrong, sir. And that's even not a racist thing.
Even the blues man in the movie is white. Like,
you've seen this movie.
There is a startling lack of brown people in this film. There's a bartender that happens to be black.
And he's famous, too, but
and
I don't remember his name.
They're in the South. Like, the implication is that they're in the South, and there is a startling lack of black people in it.
Yeah.
Watch this movie uncensored to like an actual video, because I think this was the first time I've seen this movie not on TV. Way Ooh. More titties and cussing in it.
Way lots more titties.
Yeah,
I have discovered that tits. About a lot of the movies we watch is there is a tremendous amount of tits in everything that I don't remember.
Almost everything from the 80s has tits in it.
Like
almost.
It is ridiculous. Like there is what like 20 minutes into it. He walks into that back room. That dude is just straight hammering that chick. His ass is hanging out. Her tits are hanging out. Like, that's not something that I think really would get put into a movie like this anymore.
No.
Because they'd be going for a wider audience and get a PG-13 rating, and there'd be an implication. Right. He would be coming out of the room, and they'd be adjusting their pants or something.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I was on break. And
no, he's straight
stay on break.
Stay on break.
God, the tough guy lines in this.
So good.
So
hurts
good.
Like hell, don't
he,
it?
He looked, when he's, he when looked big, though, so I probably listened to him.
Ever.
When Dalton's getting the shit kicked out of him and Garrett comes out and he goes, hey, how you doing today?
He says, how you doing, mijo?
Best character intro ever.
Yeah.
punches him like square in the dick and then breaks his knee and he's like, hurts like hell, don't it?
I thought that was the good. Fucking Happy Gilmore guy, by the way. But it ended up not being the Happy Gilmore
so,
guy. I know exactly so much you're talking like about.
So much dick assault in this fucking movie, dude.
They're just like breaking everyone's
kneecaps
in this fucking shit.
But it's the
truth.
It's the truth, though. I mean, if I'm in a fight and you're trying to kill me, I will fucking scratch the shit out of your eyes. I'll grab your nuts and I'll rip them as hard as I can. I'm not fucking dying without taking a piece of your ass with me.
Yeah.
Oh, Juan, already an old man fighter.
Oh, that's fine.
It's going down for real.
Though, where does the throat rip come? Like, what the fuck? Like, it turns into a very brutal movie there for a second.
That's like part of his backstory. What, his because, haunted
no, I know,
past.
I know. Because, but,
so they say that earlier in the movie.
Yeah,
he
when
killed
he's
a man by tearing his throat out. And you're like, oh, that seems intense. And then you watch and you're like, yep.
But you
that's
think it's like a metaphor.
Intense.
You know what I mean? Like, he whipped his ass and then all of a sudden, it's
yeah, he's just like, yeah, fucking golly mob
like
that shit out of there. Temple to
Doom. I do like the scene where he's like hovering over the main bad guy and he has the claws out and it's like, that dude's never seen you tear someone's throat out, so he has no idea what your claw hand means. Like, he's probably not as intimidated as you think he is because that looks fucking ridiculous.
like you're not holding anything.
Damn it.
Oh shit, that claw hand thing was real fucking business. He tore my throat out.
The claw.
The claw.
Oh, my fucking son loves that shit. He's all it moves.
Shut up.
The claw has chosen.
The guy with the cross earring to have his throat torn out.
Fuck.
Man, Toy Story would be a way different movie if it was a remake of Roadhouse.
Just comes down, rips out one of the aliens' throats.
It has been 10 years since he died.
Swayze already.
So we're sitting it's there watching Swayze, the movie, Swayze. And Mel goes, he looked so bad when he passed away. I was like, he fucking died of cancer. Like, what do you want from the guy?
Jesus. Cold-blooded, Mel. Wow. He looked terrible when he died.
Yeah. That's a thing that happens when you have cancer.
It's better than, like, dying in, like, horrible accidents, though.
This is true.
Like, Paul Walker looked way worse when he died, I'm sure.
Wow.
That was dark.
That's what I'm saying.
That'll be a pop culture classic soon.
Really?
Fast and the Furious?
Yeah,
oh,
bro.
Oh, man, I don't want to.
It's probably been,
it's probably been like, 15 years.
It's old enough to fit in there.
The first one, definitely. That's what, like,
can
a
we
2000...
at least watch Tokyo Drift? Because it's the only one I like.
Oh, that's the worst one.
That one gets no respect.
I like Tokyo Drift.
I just like the cars that are in it.
The second Fast and Furious.
Because they never go more than, they never go a quarter mile. That's why they don't get respect.
Yeah. With fucking Tyrese.
That's how he
that's
lives
like
his
the
life, bro.
One.
Quarter mile at a time.
I live my life one parking lot spiral at a time.
A skinny real racer. Winning's winning.
Oh, man.
You all right, bro?
Dude, shut up.
Sorry, sometimes I just have to bark.
So it's my turn around the table. I love this movie. That's it. Like, this movie cracks me up. Like, I don't feel like it's a bad movie. Like, that's the thing. I actually really enjoy
Here's
it.
Here's the thing. I think it's a bad movie, but I like the movie. Like, I think I could understand why people don't like it, but I really like the movie.
I don't know anybody that doesn't like it either. That's the other thing is when I see that it's got like a bad rating on like Rotten Tomatoes, I'm like, who watched this and was like, that was terrible. Like,
same people that gave like Mandy the same rating.
In my brain, I'm just like, this movie's rad. Like, it's so ridiculous that it's fun. Like, and I guess that's what makes it a bad movie is that it's completely asinine. Like, it's so dumb.
So is this one of those 80s movies that got like an even worse sequel? Or do you think it'll ever
Is there a Roadhouse 2?
I think there is a Roadhouse 2.
Or do you think it'll ever get remade?
Remaking?
Roadhouse
2 came out in 2006. It is an American direct-to-video action film directed by Scott Zeal.
Sure. Well, that answers that question, but...
See, and, like, the plot of Roadhouse 2 seems dumb. An undercover DEA agent uses brute force to save his uncle's bar from ruthless drug runners intent on claiming the waterhole as their own. So that sucks, because what makes Dalton cool is that he's not a cop. He's just, like, a dude that comes into your town and fixes your fucking problems and then leaves.
So like, the most ridiculously badass lot to stand in town.
Dude, no shit.
Yeah, his
That is the coolest looking fucking barnyard loft I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It's like overlooked just a giant lake.
I would totally live there for $100 a month. I got to charge you something.
Yeah. Oh.
So 38% on Rotten Tomatoes for the critics, 66% for the audience at 60,112 viewers.
That's crazy.
And four thumbs up from TOTLB.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Fuck all them.
Not thinking, well, at least that was fun.
I thought it was fun as
hell. It was fun as hell. The movie's great.
Like I said, it's got all the best shit from the 80s. It's got tits, it's got fire, it's got explosions, gunfights. It's awesome.
So next pop culture classic is going to be Blade, which
I can't wait.
I'm super excited to watch, especially with the news of the new Blade movie coming out in like five to ten years.
Yeah.
Well, we learned we were saying his name wrong the whole fucking time.
Yeah. Well, that's how I'd heard it said somewhere else.
Well, so. I said we learned that we had been saying it wrong.
It's just weird.
I didn't place it on your name. It's Mahershala.
Mahershala Ali.
Okay. Mm.
Kevin Feige, who I don't even know if I'm saying his name right, said it out loud.
Sorry, I just can't stop barking. Sometimes I have this like thing in my throat.
You want to take us out, sweaty man?
Yeah, next episode we're going to be talking about The Boys. So look forward to that. The Amazon Prime show, The Boys.
The Boys.
With that said, I've been Gabe.
I've been Tim.
I've been Doyle.
I'm still Juan.
Yeah. And this
liar.
Has been Thinking Outside the Long Box. We'll talk to you soon.
You're not the one I used to know.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.